Last night, some of you look a little tired this morning, but that's all right. We are going to worship nonetheless. The kids at this time, you are dismissed. Have a wonderful time in the Gospel Project downstairs. Welcome. My name is Jeremy Calley. I'm one of the elders here, and we're happy to be here on New Year's Day, first day of 2023, and 2023, I know. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? I'm going to be writing 2022 for months before I get used to this, as I do every year. But we are here to worship our Lord and to get into His Word. So will you do me a favor, as we jump into the Word of God this morning, will you pray with me that He would help us and open our hearts, that He would, through His Word, by His Spirit, change us, right? Draw us closer to Him. Let's pray. This morning, God, we thank You for who You are, that You invite us, that You call us to worship You. God, that You are a God who speaks to us through Your Word. God, we pray this morning that You would write it on our hearts, that these words from the Scriptures would reorient our lives, that we would adjust to You. Help us to be more like You. Help us to know You better this morning. God, our prayer is that You would change me, change us as we read Your Word and as You speak to us. Build the foundation blocks of our life, that we would make decisions according to Your will and Your Word, in the way that we worship You and in the way that we treat each other. We trust You this morning. We trust You. You are a good God, and You're sovereign. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Well, here we are, 2023, and I anticipate, for me at least, I'm going to spend a lot of time, at least at work, in my vocation, in planning meetings. Anyone been a part of those before? Yeah, Matt is shivering over there. You know, I've probably spent hundreds of hours in, like, look back the year past, right, and planning for the year future, whether it be in my vocational life or church and ministry life. It's something we often do. We do it in business. We do it in any organization that maybe we help lead or are a part of. We do it, hopefully, in our personal lives. I know for me, this time, albeit I was talking to Bernie this morning, a little arbitrary. It really is. Last night was Saturday and today's Sunday, right? That's pretty much the significance of it. But it does, for us, the date change maybe cause some of us to take a look back. I know a question I like to ask myself is, have I grown closer to God? Have I grown in the fruit of the Spirit? Am I more patient, more kind, more loving? Is God sanctifying me? Where am I this year as opposed to last year? I think that's a great introspective thing to do in our lives. Prayerfully consider what God has done. And then, of course, we look to the new year. My diet starts tomorrow, as I'm sure yours does. Amen. Give us strength. Some of the strategy exercises I've been a part of are really interesting, and we actually just at work did some last week where you begin to look at different business lines or different things in an organization and say, okay, how do we get clarity on what we're going to work on this year? Anyone ever ask that question in some area of your life? Give me clarity on what I'm going to work on this year. What is the difference between being busy or actually moving the needle? And doing something, throwing my shoulder behind something that matters. What matters? So we've been doing some exercises in that regard to get clarity. I remember when I was a kid, and for those, gosh, probably, I think someone was born in 2000, they're 23, right? Unbelievable. So when I was a kid, and some of you kids, this is going to sound completely foreign to you, we had televisions that had a back on them. They were actually as deep as they were wide. Some of you are looking at me very confused right now. They had tubes in them that displayed images sometimes fuzzy, you got the little wavy thing going on. But I remember for me growing up as a little kid, every year, because, young people, we did not have immediate, instant digital access to any movie we ever wanted at any time, you had to wait. Do you remember this? You had to wait every year for a movie to be on TV. And for me, growing up, I was excited every year at 8 o'clock at some point, I think it was probably in the fall, The Wizard of Oz would come on. You guys remember this? Very exciting for me growing up. I got to stay up a little later, made popcorn, and we would sit and watch The Wizard of Oz. And if you guys remember the story, Dorothy, a little upset that this horrible woman was trying to take her dog, is completely distraught. She wanders into the home when a tornado is coming, and it picks up the house, and it falls on the witch, right? And she walks out of the house, and, you know, for you history buffs, the first color display of television ever when she walks out of that house into a land full of people that look a lot like me. Oddly enough, when I was in elementary school, they cast me as someone in the Lollipop Guild, and I feel like I was typecast a little bit. I don't know. But you remember the Munchkins, right? They guided Dorothy in this journey, but I'm going to get to a point here. The point is, Dorothy, like, is she has an objective, and they guide her on this journey, and they tell her, you got to what? Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. And she's following this yellow brick road to get to the wizard. And her objective, her goal, is to get to the wizard. And she has this path. And a lot of things she encounters to knock her off the path or distract her happen on the way. But she's got an objective and she's got a goal. She has clarity of vision. She is following this yellow road to get to the wizard. Why? Because she wants to go home. She has some friends with her that are on the yellow brick road as well, trying to get to the wizard. The scarecrow is following the yellow brick road because he wants a brain. The tin man wants a heart. The lion wants courage. And there is this clarity of vision they have. There's this objective, and they know exactly what they're doing. And I think some of us this morning, as we look at 2023, we maybe look at it with joy and excitement. There's new things happening in life. Maybe some of us look at this year and we think, kids go back to school Tuesday, back into survival mode. Just going to put my head down, try to get everything done and see how it works out. There's not a lot of clarity. Maybe there's a view into 2023 that brings anxiety. You think, I'm anxious about health. I'm anxious about finances. I'm anxious about work. Maybe things are happening in life that are scary and fearful. Maybe some of us are heading into 2023 and we are just scrambling. I got to get things done. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. Or maybe some of us are looking for a vision. We're looking for some clarity. What should I be pursuing? Okay, I got to lose a few pounds. I'd like to make a little more money. I'd like to achieve in my job or my career. I would like the kids to be in a particular place. Depending on where they are in life and in your parenting or whatever is going on in your life, maybe you need some clarity and you're thinking, how does God speak into this, into my Monday through Friday? How does God speak into what I should be focused on? What is my objective? What is my one thing? What's my yellow brick road? What's my purpose? I want to go home. I want a heart. I want a brain. What is it that I should be pursuing? And there's good news this morning. Jesus speaks directly to the Christian life and what it is we are supposed to be focused on. And it's actually a beautiful truth from the scriptures. If you look at the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, after talking to them about what's important to care about, you can't serve two masters, money and God. You have to live this radical life that's focused on the kingdom of God. He goes into a passage in Matthew chapter 6, And I want to focus on verse 33. If you turn in your Bible or your app, it'll be up on the screen. We're going to read this together. But I'm going to key in on some context here. So I'm going to start in verse 25 and then focus on 23 or 33. So hear these words from Jesus. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, could add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Listen to verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. So Jesus graciously gives his people clarity about what they're not supposed to be doing, and very clearly as well describes to them what they are supposed to be doing, what we are supposed to be focused on. Now, obviously, there's a lot of detail in our lives that we worry about, a lot of things that we think about, and Jesus is not understanding that. He understands. He's not dismissing the concerns of our life, is he? In fact, you see, as Jesus addresses the people on the Sermon on the Mount, he's speaking to them, and he acknowledges and he articulates the things he knows they're concerned about. He just got done telling them, listen, don't love money. You can't serve two masters. And he's talking to them about living this life that's kingdom focused. And he says in our passage, therefore, considering that, therefore, don't be anxious about what you're going to eat, about what you're going to wear. See, he's articulating to them the things that they're concerned about. In verse 33, he talks very specifically and very clearly about what we are to do. I love that. That clear direction from God, from our Savior, about what I am supposed to be focused on, because I am prone to distraction. And he says, seek first the kingdom of God. What is this idea of seeking? I mean, here we see, and Luke kind of juxtaposed it in his passage, articulating this moment in the Sermon on the Mount, that a lot of people are seeking a lot of things. They're looking around in every direction frantically without looking at God, on whom alone their eyes should be fixed. So we do see the juxtapose of people seeking for everything, frantically looking around, anxiously going after things, everything else except putting their eyes on God. The one who their eyes should be constantly fixed is where they're not looking. And Jesus reorienting us, readjusting us, understanding our concerns and our anxiety, he says, seek first, of first importance. Assign first rank to this pursuit. Jesus gives parables describing this. Seek it like it's a lost coin of great value. Seek it like it's a lost son who's gone away. Seek it like it's a lost sheep where the 99 are safe and in the pen and the one has gone away. Seek it frantically like it's the one thing that is of utmost value, of utmost importance, that is the most valuable thing for your pursuits, for the object of your affection, what you go after in life. Of first rank, of first importance, it should be this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's easy to say, right? We're so easily distracted by so many other things. I know in my life, I'm trying to take care of all these other things that seem to take precedent and importance in my life. I'm pursuing so many things to care for my family, to care for myself, to make sure we have enough money, to make sure we have enough this, to make sure we have enough that. And I love Jesus. Jesus comes and brings perspective to this, and he says, don't be anxious about that. You worry about seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the one who is able to supply all your needs will care for you. You don't have to worry about it. We have a false sense of our ability to take care of those things anyway, do we not? I mean, let's be honest. We are lying to ourselves so often about our ability to make sure we're okay. We can't control the circumstances of life. You could throw your whole life and energy and pursuit and diligence into a career and the company could go bankrupt. Someone could lie about you and you lose your position. You don't get promoted. You could throw everything you have into particular relationships and people will fail you. You can love a human being so desperately. And in the midst of the sinfulness of this world, people get sick and people die and we experience tragedy. These things are out of our control. But here's what we know this morning as Christians, that in the midst of all these things that we really think we can control and we anxiously attempt to control, when we come to the realization that it's beyond our control, here's what we do know. In the midst of the things we don't know, we know this. He knows. Amen? He is sovereign. He is in control. And what he's saying is, if you're a Christian and you're following me, you got one thing you need to worry about. That's following me. I'm going to take care of the rest. I'm going to supply your need. I'm going to care for you. And your friend, does that mean bad things won't happen? No. But here's what we know. When the bad things happen, it's not a surprise to him. He is in control of it. And in the midst of difficulties in our lives, he is ordering the steps of a righteous man or woman. Amen? As you pursue him as first rank, as highest priority, if the object of your concern day to day is how do I pursue and seek the kingdom of God, I know that the one person who can care for all the other things that make me anxious, he's got it. He's got my back. There is no safer place to be. There is no place where you will find greater rest in 2023 than in the hands of a sovereign God who loves you and who saved you. I love this because these aren't harsh words. He says to them, look to the birds. Your Father in heaven. You notice that? Your Father in heaven. He uses language of adoption and fatherhood. He's understanding the concern. If I care for the birds, of course I'm going to care for you. He's showing the value that you have in him. That if I value the birds enough that to feed them, that I'm going to take care of you. If I value the lilies of the field that just sprout up and then they die and they're thrown in the furnace, I'm going to clothe you. And he's motivating his people by showing nature and the greater value that we have to him than even those things that he cares for. And he says these words, your Father in heaven. As we walk into this year, I think we should consider that, who he is. He's our Father. He has adopted us. He cares for us like a dad. And some of you maybe hear the word dad and it hits your brain and registers through your circumstances, and that doesn't pump out a good definition. But here's what we know about him. He is the best dad. He is a gracious Father who loves us, who cares for us, who takes care of us. I think of my own kids. Gracie, my youngest, came home from kindergarten. She's 5. And she started to talk to me about a little boy who was mean to her. I had a sinful reaction. I immediately thought, I'm going to beat up a 5-year-old, right? Like, this is terrible. Like, who is this kid? What's his name and where does he live? And I'm thinking to myself, I'm 46. You can't just hit kids. You can, like, give them a little bump when they walk by, but you got to be careful. It's got to be very subtle. No, I'm just kidding. But when my beautiful little 5-year-old girl tells me someone was mean to her, my immediate reaction is, their life is over, right? Like, that's what I want to see happen. That's terrible. And I'm sure he's a wonderful little boy, too, who was just playing on the playground. But that was my reaction. But that's, I would care for her. I would do anything for her. I'm not going to let her starve. I'm not going to let her not have clothing. I'm not going to let her not have what she needs. I'm also going to protect her and discipline her. I'm not going to let her run out into the road. I will scare her. Stop it. Get away from the road and yell at her, even to the point of bringing her to tears. Why? Because that's insanely dangerous for her to walk towards the road. Our God, our Father, is gracious to us in the way that he orders our steps and guides our life and cares for us. He chastens those who he loves. So as we experience this year, as we experience circumstances in our lives, we can do what? This is the big word for today. We can trust him. Amen? He is in charge. He is working things for our good. And our good usually doesn't mean it's all the things we want, right? Because he's a dad. He's a father who knows our good and who loves us. All we need to do is worry about our one thing. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. As we're making decisions this year, God, what would you have me do with my life? What would you have me do in this situation? You see, God is requesting of us, he is commanding of us as we follow him to live radical lives of generosity towards others, of loving our neighbors, of loving God, of pursuing his kingdom, not our own. And the reality is that's going to require sacrifice. It's going to require service. It's going to require us living life for others as we look to others more highly than ourselves. It is a different kind of living. But those who seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the other stuff he takes care of in our pursuit towards him. Amen? So for the Christian, we have clarity. We have singularity of focus. We know what our objective is as we walk into this year. It's to seek first his kingdom, to assign first rank to the kingdom of God, knowing he's going to take care of the rest. To live this radical life of service and generosity. To not be anxious. What stresses us out? What is it really that causes anxiety and stress? Think about it. Stuff. It's our stuff that stresses us out. I'm kind of laid back. So I do get stressed about stuff. Not like my family, my father and my brother. They got some nice stuff. And they seem to care for it better than I do. Anybody like that? Listen, Dad, can I take the car? right? My brother, can I borrow this? And it's like polished and cleaned and put away perfectly. And it's kind of like, I don't know if I want you to borrow it, right? They don't do that necessarily in a sinful way. They just care for things better than I do sometimes. But if we think about our own lives, what stresses us out? It's our stuff. You ever see the guy with the really nice car? He parks it like in the parking lot near nobody, right? Always polishing it. That's why I don't like nice cars. Just kidding. Actually, I do. But it is the things that stress us out. It's the things we have. It's the things we want. It's the things we're pursuing and worried about and concerned for. Those are the things that cause anxiety in our life. How do I get to the next thing? How do I get to that? And Jesus is saying, I'm not calling you to worry about any of that stuff. Pursue me above all else. All these things will be added to you. There will be blessings. There will be graces in our lives. Some of us at different levels. And again, what else causes us stress? Looking at other people's stuff. Man, I would really like that. I wish I could have that. I wish I could get to that. I wish I could have those things. Don't worry about that stuff. God's going to bless you with stuff, with things. He's going to take care of you. Things may go away and things may come. What Jesus said prior to this passage is, as he's heading into the therefore do not be anxious in verse 25, if you jump up to the previous verses, he's just got done saying, hey, don't lay up for yourself things on earth that moth and rust destroy, that thieves break in and steal. He says, lay up for yourself treasures where? In heaven, where moths can't get to it, and rust can't get to it, and thieves can't break in and destroy it. We are, and I'm speaking to myself, we are so concerned and so anxious over getting a bunch of stuff that is of tomorrow's garage sales, that is of things that moss and rust and thieves can take. And sometimes we show such little concern for the things that matter for eternity. Those treasures in heaven that no one can take away. Seek first the kingdom of God in my life as my priority. Worry is what we see in this passage as he speaks of the birds and of the lilies. Worry is wholly unproductive. It is an unproductive act as we trust in him. Worry is unproductive. And anxiety in our lives, and I don't mean to minimize anxiety that folks have and struggles chemically that maybe folks have that need help and need treatment. I get that anxiety is beyond just a normal feeling, that sometimes anxiety can have to do with things going on in our brains and may need medical attention, may need some folks to speak to. But at its base, at its core, and I think this is healthy for anyone regardless of where you are on the anxiety spectrum, we are, for what it's worth, with all the amazing advances in technology and all the stuff we have to make our lives better, better than any generation ever to live on the face of the planet, we are the most medicated, anxious generation in the history of the world. What God is saying here is that anxiety is really a guide, revealing what we've made life all about. It can be a guide for us to maybe really think about what we have placed as the most valuable thing in our lives. My health, my kids, my job, my status, my financial situation. And what God is speaking to us today through his word is, put that under the first priority of seeking him first and trusting that he takes care of all of this stuff while we pursue him. Amen? I love that he doesn't just say, stop worrying. Just stop worrying. Don't be anxious. He doesn't just do that. He gives us the stop doing this, but do this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Can we make that our pursuit of 2023 together as a church? How do we do that? Let's read together. Let's allow the scriptures to orient our lives and build the foundation blocks by which we make decisions. What should I do with my life? What does the Word of God say in the midst of this situation? Let's worship together consistently, pursuing Christ. I got to tell you, for me, being here is so helpful in reorienting my life. I don't know if you feel the same way. And again, I experience what all of you experience. I hope, maybe not all of you, some of you. There are moments I wake up and I'm like, is there a reason that I could stay home today, right? Has anyone ever felt that way? I feel a cough, feel a tickle in my throat. It's tough sometimes to make it to MC. It's tough sometimes to make it to be among God's people, gathered people worshiping. But when I get here, when I'm here, and we sing these songs of who God is together, when we pray together, when we hear the Word of God together, I sense the Spirit of God moving in my heart, changing me, reorienting me. And I often come into this moment of the week, having experienced the Monday through Saturday, completely disoriented and in need of adjustment. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let's be together and walk with each other. What is God calling you to do this year? In terms of how you serve him and pursue him. I had a professor in Bible school that told me once, I was clinically depressed and my whole life changed in terms of my clinical depression when I began to live my life for other people and wasn't completely focused on me and all of my problems. When I began to serve others, his depression began to adjust. Well, that's incredibly biblical. It's the antithesis of Disney, right? The highest objective of your life is to be your truest you. Garbage. The highest objective of your life is to pursue Christ. Let him be your identity and who you are. Let him call you into who you are supposed to be. And I think, how does that play out in our lives practically? Look to our neighbors to serve and to love them this year. Can I take that person into my home? Well, man, I don't know if we have the room. I don't know if we have the food. I don't know if we have the money. Can I serve in my giftedness in church? I'm pretty busy. I don't know if I have time. I got a lot going on. I don't have time to love my neighbor in that way. I work. I have bills. I don't have the room. I don't have enough food. I don't have the right clothes. I don't know if I can serve the needy. I don't know if I can reach out to my neighbor. I don't know if I have time. All of these things, what are we doing with our time and our resources and our talents and all the gifts God has given us? What are we doing with them if it's not doing the things he's asked us to do with them, i.e. serve and love our neighbors of ourselves and love him? I think some of us need to ask ourselves, what are we doing with our time, our talent, and our resources? And are they really bringing us joy that goes beyond our ability to understand that the Bible describes about, regardless of circumstances, God gives you joy, not happiness, but joy, a depth that's beyond temporal things, but is deeper than that? Is there that joy in your life as you seek first his kingdom and serve him? Or are we too busy scrambling after temporal happiness and temporal pleasures that go away like this? Just blow away with a sickness or a bad mood or something happening in our lives, circumstances. Are we trees rooted in living water, delighting in the law of the Lord, or are we chaff blown around by circumstances? Let's ask ourselves this year, how can we seek first the kingdom of God? And let's trust him to take care of everything else. Amen? Pray with me this morning. Lord, we thank you this morning for your word that adjusts us, that orients us. You speak to us, and you know exactly what to say. You know exactly what to do. In fact, we are so out of control and so incapable, and we know that you are in control. You are sovereign. You are capable. And we are so grateful that you love us and you care for us like a father. So this morning we declare we trust you with our lives this year. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen.